All right. Hi, Jen.
Hey, Joel.
So I'm really keen to learn more about accessibility, and I think you might be the person to tell me about it. So I thought we'd start with just talking about what accessibility is in terms of how we use the internet.
As far as how we use the internet, accessibility is the ability for everyone to be able to participate and interact with the internet. So whether you need to use web technologies to help you interact with it or not is slightly irrelevant. The point is that you can.
So using screen readers, that's part of it. And I think that's something that most people would associate. Oh, if it's accessibility, that means we can use a screen reader. But that isn't necessarily the end of the definition of accessibility. Is that?
Absolutely not. That's just the tip of the iceberg. That only covers people with enough visual disability to need a screen reader. But there's plenty of other physical disabilities that make how you interact with the web useful for accessibility purposes. One of them is the ability to use only a keyboard. Another one is to have high enough contrast on your website so that people with other vision disabilities, like being colorblind, can see those contrasts.
Yeah, so we've had particular challenges with Egghead, like, because it's video, right? Like,
so right.
There's certain challenges there where, you know, if I can see the video and hear the video, it works for me. And, you know, like, how do you, like, even start, right? Like, what's the minimum that every single website should do? I think that's my question, really, is, you know, like, what's the next step, right? If we haven't, like, focused on this at all as an organization or starting a new software project that we're going to put out there, where do we begin, and what's the, you know, the course of action that you think people should take?
So one of my favorites to start with is the DQ Axe Chrome and Firefox plugin. Once you get that installed and you run an audit on your website, you can start seeing what kind of issues that you have. And if you use Lighthouse, for instance, to also test your websites and PWAs, then that also is including the Axe Core for the accessibility testing. So either one of those will do. The Axe plugin actually goes into much more detail and tries to teach you what the limitations are, what the problems are, and the different options for fixing it, whereas Lighthouse only gives you the problems.
So what's Lighthouse, just for folks that haven't heard of that before?
Lighthouse is auditing that's built into at least Chrome to allow you to test performance, accessibility, whether your website is progressive web app capable, whether you use best practices. It does quite a few audits to verify that your site is ready to go for PWAs, which is like a web app that you use on your phones, but also covers all the other options.
So does a PDA or PWA, progressive web app, does that deal with accessibility? Does that address accessibility issues?
It doesn't, but their accessibility portion, their accessibility audit portion does.
Oh, okay. So it's related. So it's auditing accessibility and are you a progressive web app, and kind of like giving you hints as to what you can do to fix that. So Lighthouse is a basic plugin. I've seen that. That's on the audit tab, I think, in the
right, depth. It is.
And that just runs the Google Lighthouse for us. I actually hadn't even heard of that before a couple of weeks ago, and we ran it on our site and we're surprised. But it was cool because it gave us like targets, right? Like performance targets.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And I was thinking, like, because performance is important in terms of accessibility in a lot of ways, too, because beyond, like, physical limitations with interacting with the computer, we also have limitations in terms of infrastructure or, you know, like how fast a page loads will affect somebody that doesn't have, you know, I have 250-bit megabit internet, which is blazing fast, right? But that's not the norm even for the global usage, I wouldn't think.
It's absolutely not. If you're sitting in a hotel or a hospital, for instance, and trying to connect to the internet, you're going to learn very fast how easy it is for even first world countries to lose internet access or to have access that's so low that it makes everything painful. So, you know, the paying attention to performance and how your website loads, even on very slow apps, very slow internet connections, allows you to not only access the people that can afford blazing fast internet, but also all the people that can't.
Yeah. I like look at our business, right? And I'm always thinking, you know, I want this to be more accessible and I want more people to be able to use it. One, it's a pretty good business decision, but just like looking at it, and then I'd feel bad, right? Like we didn't have closed captions for the longest time, but we then published transcripts, which aren't as good, but you know, they're better than nothing. And, you know, I was like, oh, I feel so guilty. And I was talking to having a Twitter conversation with Marcy Sutton, and she's like, well, no, you have something, right? Like you've made an effort and you pushed in a positive direction. And I think a lot of people probably feel bad and they feel overwhelmed by the like thought of accessibility as this massive, huge thing that you have to do. You know, is it important for people just to make, you know, small steps forward if they can't, you know, do the whole ball of wax?
Oh, absolutely. Anything that you do allows more people to be able to access your site and be able to utilize it in the way that everyone normally does. So every single step you take is helpful. When you definitely run the audits for the first time and you see 300 errors or problems that you're running into, it can be really overwhelming at first. So I try to lay out a few steps that people can take to start with, to start making those strides one bit at a time. One of the things that we recommend you start with is your definition of done. If you can include something like JSX plugin React Ally or JSX plugin React Native A11Y, then you're definitely at least starting to audit while you code. So you're getting a lot of those low hanging fruit even before you push. And after that, you start with like your reusable components, the stuff that you end up copying and pasting everywhere, is the code that if you fix it once, it fixes it for everything. And then after that, you start looking at your individual pages to fix the one-off items that the audits start complaining about. And then after that, you're looking at content and how you phrase things in order to make it easier for people to understand. So that's kind of the steps that I recommend to start working towards making something accessible, but definitely start with as much low-hanging fruit as you can. It's amazing how just a couple of changes in very few portions of your website can make it much more accessible for a much larger group of people.
Yeah, for us, like when we, after we did the transcripts, like we had this, that was like a step. And then when we do, because we have closed captions now, which we just like got to introduce this year, and because we had this nice backlog of transcripts, moving to closed captions was actually pretty straightforward. So we got to progress it. And I'm also taking notes because I feel like this is something that we can like actively start doing with your recommendations. You mentioned Axe, and that's from, is it DQ? D-E-Q-U-E is the company. Correct. So the Axe plugin, just from what you, it sounded like from what you said, is kind of like Lighthouse, but more?
It is more. So it's another plug. It's an extension onto either Chrome or Firefox. So it'll be an additional tab in the developer tools, just like if you were to install the React plugin. The benefits, like I said, over just using Lighthouse is that it gives you links within each error, and it'll highlight the portions on the page that have the problems, and it'll give you more information regarding what the problem is and multiple solutions to solve it. The links themselves go tell you more about why it's a problem and also more reasons to fix it, more ways to fix it.
Yeah, I've interacted with some of their articles that they have, and just, I haven't used this plugin. I've used some tool that will analyze a page, it feels like, but they have extensive articles on literally how to go in and implement these solutions. It feels like they've spent a lot of time and effort building up a catalog.
Yep. It is a DQ's business model, actually, making things accessible, making accessibility tools and audits. So it's their business to make sure that the audits that we run are successful and that they don't provide false positives.
Yeah, that's great.
And false negatives. So it also means that Axe can only cover between 30 and 50% of your app, depending on how much text there is. In the end, you are always going to have a person manually go through it with a screen reader, with a keyboard, and verify that how a user interacts with it is understandable. It isn't just the technology, it's also the text. It's whether it's understandable, it's whether people can find the flow of the website usable in an easy manner, if it's actually a user-friendly website.
Yeah, so that gets into, you know, like usability that we think about just I don't know, like making your website efficient. And like what strikes me, what's interesting to me when you start talking about the words is it almost sounds like how you think about marketing, right? Like when you're building the site, you want it to be clear and easy to understand, and you want people to get what they want, how they want it. There's a book, Don't Make Me Think, that I really enjoy that kind of digs into that. Like people don't want to think, they just want to do. And in a way, like these marketing principles are actually like accessibility principles also.
They absolutely are. One of the benefits of incorporating a lot of these accessibility features is they end up helping everyone. One of my favorite quotes says something along the lines of, you know, when our library created ramps that got them into the library, it helped not only the people in wheelchairs, but also the couple with a baby and the delivery driver with a trolley and the student on a bicycle. So those accessibility features don't just help those that require assistive technologies. They help everyone.
Yeah. So I hear this objection a lot, and people use, and I'm using air quotes, the business.
Right.
The business will never do this. The business will never, you know, support this. The business will never provide a budget for this. And I'm wondering, like, if somebody does care, and hopefully people do, like, how do you, you know, get past this objection of the business, which seems to kind of slough it off onto an inanimate object in a lot of ways?
It really does. And though we can affect people, and the people that make up a business are still people, and we can remind them of why we need to do this, they can really want to, but they have to report to people, and they have to report to people, and those people have budgets. How do you get this to be a priority? And I want to use an example. We'll go back a little bit before that and say, according to the World Health Organization, about 15% of the population has some form of disability. And those numbers are extremely conservative because they're done based on people that fill out forms. And I had a friend who said, my 98-year-old grandmother can't walk anymore, can't see anymore, can't really hear anymore. But if you ask her if she's disabled, she'll say no. So it's definitely a conservative number. In 2012, the U.S. did an audit as well to see how many are disabled here, and the answer came down to about 19%. So still a conservative number. So we're looking at about 15 to 20% of the population is accessible or is suffering from some sort of disability. If your website is accessible, you access those 15 to 20% of people. And if you look at your website and you look at your income and you look at just the number of people that are accessing your site, you can say that if your company is $10 million and you increase the revenue by 20% because you get 20% more people using your website because it's accessible, that makes a $10 million company into a $12 million company just by incorporating some accessibility features. That's not adding any other features. That's making sure you have a high enough color contrast. That's making sure that you can navigate with a keyboard. That's making sure that a screen reader can navigate through your site in some sort of reasonable manner. That's huge. I mean, it's been a long time since I've incorporated a single feature that's increased my company's revenue by 20%. So not only that, but only about 1 in 10 websites, according to an audit that DQ did, is accessible, which means not only are you increasing your revenue by 15 or your readership or usership by 15%, but you're cornering the market on the larger 15% of the population that's trying to use that feature that your website offers. So if you could be one of the 10% of websites that's accessible, you get much more of that market share than others. And then you take that and you add it to the fact that when you incorporate those accessibility features, you access people that have temporary or circumstantial disabilities like a broken arm or holding a baby, and you make it much easier for them to use. So then your entire readership actually has much easier access to get through your funnel. The easier it is to get through your funnel, the more likely it is they'll come back and do it again. So you're increasing it based on the broader concept of readership and usership, in addition to cornering the market and adding an extra 20% on top of that.
Yeah, so it's a market advantage. It can be a competitive advantage for a business. And, you know, like people have a sea of choices, right? Like, so why wouldn't they use the thing that's the easiest to use or even usable at all for them?
Exactly. It's like they'll use you over anyone else because you're the only one they can use.
You know, so one in my experience, most of the projects I've worked on that Accessibly was a push at all is because they had a champion. They had somebody that was internal to the company that, you know, or the project that was really, you know, making sure that when we talked about done, that accessibility was part of that conversation. Have you had experience doing that? Have you found yourself in that situation where you were a champion for accessibility?
At basically every company I've worked for, I've been the champion.
And I mean, do you have any advice then? Like that sounds, I mean, that's interesting. And I'm wondering if you had advice for folks that would like to pick that up and they would like to, you know, be the champion on their project for accessibility.
One of the things I can recommend is pushing back from the very, very beginning, if you possibly can. One of the biggest issues that we run into is contrast issues based on people with lower vision, people with color blindness, and just a lot of other vision issues. That color contrast is very, very important. So if you can make sure that you have high enough color contrast, that solves a great majority of problems. And after that, just make sure that as you're coding, you can navigate through your website with a keyboard and fix any of those issues as you go. You can also advocate for including, you know, accessibility linters into your project to get started, at least. At that point, it makes it easier for the company to do the right thing than it is to do the wrong thing. And I've found that that is the best way to get people on board, is when it's harder to do the wrong thing than it is to do the right thing.
So not to like suggest people should be subversive in their jobs, but the management just isn't going along with this, right? Like they're not going to have any of it. And like as a team member, as in like grassroots activities, can we still like add accessibility to the product that we create, to the code that we write?
Absolutely. You can do that on your own. You just need to make sure that your definition of done before you say that it's done and pass it on to QA or whatever the next step is, that you've passed your own accessibility audits.
Right. So we can build, like I can actively build accessible components or build accessible pages and think about that and work on it and, you know, add it to, you know, part of my project without necessarily having explicit permission or making it a, you know, a corporate mandate of some sort. I can be in there, you know, actively doing these things and running audits and like showing the result of that work, I think.
Absolutely. The company trusts you to complete what it is you say you're going to do. And if you say, I've written this component as part of my story, and you pass that on and the component works and does everything they want, they're fine with that. The additional step of verifying that it passes accessibility tests, if no one else in the company will do it but you, make sure that everything that goes out the door, everything that goes past you through pull requests, includes accessibility audits. You can push back. You can make those PRs that say, you know, it would be better if this was able to do this. It'd be better if we could make sure that this happened as well. You can make small use cases for, I was having problems navigating. I was trying to use my keyboard and this didn't work. So I'm going to put in a bug to fix this. And it becomes more of a usability feature than it is an accessibility feature.
Yeah, because it might even be like a language thing. You suggest it this way and just, you know, oh, we're not going to get in that. Like, I'm curious, like how much you can push back, right? Like if you're in planning meetings, if you're, you know, like, what does it take? Like for me, like with anything, I feel like you have to be knowledgeable when you come into it. So like you're armed and ready to kind of, you know, like do battle or however you want to phrase it and like fight for this cause, to be a champion, right? Like that's the old school definition of that. You are a champion and you're here to fight for this cause. And like I definitely have never heard of anybody getting fired from a position for really championing the cause of building accessible, fast, easy to use, that are for more people websites. Have you?
No. I've had people get shut down occasionally and say, well, we're not going to go back and change old code. But that doesn't change the fact that you can fix code from here on out. And at the same time, after a while, even old code gets rewritten. And then those are accessible too, because they've passed your accessibility audits as you've written them. So making sure that those things happen can happen one very small step at a time. It can happen with this one component. It can happen with this one pull request. And everything that you do makes it just a little bit better, a little bit easier to use, a little bit more accessible. That's more than most people are doing now.
And that falls into the principle of just like writing clean code, right? For instance, like we want unit tests, but we don't have any. Like, where do you start? Well, you write one unit test and you test the thing that you're working on. You write, you know, a piece of accessibility. You make this component better. You have to go in and fix a bug. Then, you know, can you, you know, slide in a little extra code quality, which to me, like when you're applying the definition of done, like accessibility should be something that's discussed and it should really be considered part of the code quality initiative as well, right? Like, this is the quality of what we're writing and it needs to be accessible and work right. And both for like developers as well as like end users, it kind of fits into that same category.
It should, but I also want to toss in there an extra little note while we're talking about it. Part of making a solid code base reusable is also documentation. I recommend that anytime you have to use an example, you have to write a code example to show how something works, that you make sure that all of those code examples are accessible. I was talking to a friend of mine last year named Nicolene Hubner, and when she started coding, she was copying and pasting examples from people that also really cared about accessibility in order to build up her components. And because of the fact that that's how she learned how to code those pieces, when she applied for her first job, she used those same code examples, and they included alt tags, and they included like ARIA tags for certain things and role tags. And the response back from the company was, wow, you know, you really care about accessibility. And she was kind of confused. She didn't really know what that was. She hadn't heard of it. All she knew is that when you code, this is how it's supposed to be done. And when you're using those examples, and you're copying and pasting that off of everything from Stack Overflow to the documentation from your website, you know, if that's how it's supposed to be done, that's how it's supposed to be done. And most developers just copy and paste. So even in our documentation, we could make sure to spread accessibility to any of the copy and pasting that happens after that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So, I mean, that makes me kind of think about the idea of being like as kind of a, let's say, a niche programming expertise. Like, where do you see like a career as a programmer and being an accessibility expert? Is there demand for that? Do you see, you know, companies looking for that? Does that give us as developers a competitive advantage in the same way that it does business?
Accessibility has really started to get gotten a lot of play in the last few years. So it's still up and coming as things that people worry about. Like, it was code size a couple of years ago, and it was reusability, and now it's starting to move towards accessibility. And I think that it's not because the problem is solved, but the problem isn't being approached. So I think that the more we can allow ourselves to learn how to make things accessible and then just incorporate that into our general code, the better the entire web is going to be. As far as making ourselves more marketable, being able to have that skill is really important right now because of the fact that it is getting a lot of play. So I think that it is important. I think that it can be a marketable skill. I think that it's still an up and coming marketable skill though.
Yeah, it's like wide open to me, like in terms of like a space where you can, you know, blog and have a voice and, you know, like in things even up to like conference speaking and this sort of thing. It feels like people want to hear about it and people are really excited and interested. When I'm watching talks on YouTube from conferences and an accessibility expert is up there and they're delivering their talk, I often hear the audience clap and cheer for specific, you know, content. Like, they, people are excited and interested. And I feel like as developers, there's a large portion of us that want to make the web a better place. And, you know, that's something that motivates us even beyond higher salaries and all that sort of thing, which is nice too. But, you know, it gives you kind of a broader purpose and just the idea that we're building towards we're, you know, part of the solution instead of being part of the problem.
Up until very, very recently, it felt like accessibility is one of those things that everybody loves to ignore. So everyone is willing to clap and cheer when it comes to conference talks. They're excited that these things are available, and then they go back to their desks and nothing happens with it. It seems that as of very recently, it's starting to step out of great talks for conferences and more into people actually wanting to work with those features and wanting to understand them and wanting to incorporate them. So it's nice to see that shift. Marcy Sutton actually said a few years ago she applied for a conference with an accessibility talk, and the response back was they rejected her because it was a problem that was already solved. And the truth is that the features and the ability to make things accessible is already there, but no one's been using it. So as far as it being solved, we may have answers, but if they're not being used, then clearly there's still a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's still a problem. I see the internet. Like, it's not like, and I've been on enough teams to know that it's a problem, that there's not enough champions out there and that there's not enough people ringing the bell. And like, I've been in the past, I've been, you know, guilty of that myself, just kind of sitting there silently and building what we're told to build and, you know, not expressing that. But that's the, like, one of the coolest things about being a developer to me is there's always something new to learn and something to improve in a way that we can make our trade and our craft and do it better for more people in a way that is accessible, frankly.
And for those that are listening that aren't developers, this is a job for everyone. Design needs to be involved. Product owners and managers absolutely need to be involved. It's definitely an entire business, and anyone in the business can be the champion. It doesn't have to be a dev.
I agree with that. And we need champions at every level for this to really work. It doesn't just work from development. I mean, you know, obviously the people that are writing the code have a lot to say in how applications function, but you're right. Like, if, you know, we're not getting buy-in like all the way to the top, then it's really just a partial measure, I would say.
Yeah, devs can handle the technology, but we can't handle the words that you put on the page. And we can make suggestions for how to make the flow and the funnel easier to get through, but that tends to be a much larger business decision than us. And the design that comes to us that we end up incorporating, that also has some accessibility concerns and requirements, from the size of buttons to the size of text to the color contrast to how items are organized. You know, we can incorporate that and we can push back on that, but that's also a design decision. So it is definitely at every level.
Yep, I agree with that. Jen, you've given me a lot to think about. I actually came out with a to-do list of some things, mainly to go try out that Axe plugin. I've tried Lighthouse. I haven't tried that one yet, so I'm excited to do that with our site. And I really appreciate your efforts and your continued effort being a champion for this particular cause, because I think it's important. And thanks again for chatting with me today.
Thank you.
Cheers.